I assume you can't. Can you hear me, James?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I can see you. Nice AM backgrounds.
Hello, Freddy. I'm going to have a look at the questions from Socks Up Simon and later on, and probably go through and get some answers. Things I can't answer, I will put a note on.
Okay, attendees are starting to jump in.
Who have we got?
Joseph has assigned him. And the other panelists are joining us, but I think it was about, they said 10, so.
Because I've done that before, I've recorded a whole podcast and forgotten to hit record. Well, I've done one but forgotten to hit record, so but it's good to know that we are live. So whenever we get the green light from you, Jonathan, then we are ready to go.
Well, numbers are racing up now, so let's just, we did say an official start time clock, so let's just give it a couple more minutes, then we'll get going.
Perfect.
Jeff, me and Matt were talking about getting people back into the office just before, you know, yourself and Rob joined. Have you thought about getting your team members back to the office, or are they going to continue remote working for the time being?
Well, we don't have an office anymore.
Okay.
We in February went completely virtual. Mm-hmm. Been thinking about doing it for some time, so now because of the systems that we'll probably talk about during the course of this broadcast, we're all working from home.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, good. So it's nothing new to you guys then. The whole lockdown situation didn't change for you in terms of, you were already at home working away.
Yeah, I'd like to say that we brilliantly anticipated what was about to happen. but it was just really that we just about a month before we decided to go completely remote. So everybody works from home. Everything's in the cloud, and everyone can access everything from everywhere. And we'll talk about this. It is actually, you know, I think it is the future. And I've been speaking to a lot of people the last few days who are working from home, asking if they're going to go back to their offices. I spoke to Krona Taxwise today, and they've got apparently 500 people who were in the office but are now working from home. And I'm guessing some of them, well, you know, the person I was speaking to thinks a lot of them won't want to go back to the office.
Mm. We are certainly in interesting times, and it is the top of the hour, so we're going to make a formal start. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Rob Brown. I'm honoured to be your chair for today. And on behalf of Council Manager and myself, we welcome you to this live webinar in these disruptive times. I'm going to get these guests just to introduce themselves in a moment, but listen, we've not known anything like this. And here in the accounting profession, we are on the front line. Accountants have been described as the superheroes for the emergency services, if you like, for businesses. And they are under huge pressures. And we've got a couple of real live accounting firm representatives here with us, and James Byrne from Accountancy Manager. So we are going to talk about some interesting things that may help you deal with what's coming up and cope with how to come out of this bigger, faster, stronger. So without further ado, I'm going to go to James first. James, just give us a little introduction. Tell us what you do there, and then we'll move on to Matt and Jeff.
Sure. Okay. So, heading up Accountancy Manager. For a lot of you that are on the webinar with us, you know, you'll be aware of exactly what we do, practice management software. Started off as an accountant. My father, who was a former district senior tax inspector, brought me into the game, if you like, and sat alongside me while we sort of, I helped him build up his accountancy practice, which he'd started in 1997. Since then went on to sort of find where there were inefficiencies, and look for a product that would satisfy those. And what we found was that there wasn't one out there that really tackled all of the things we were looking for under one roof. And that's really where Accountancy Manager was born.
Brilliant. We'll dip into that a little bit more. Matt, tell us your story, a little bit of background for the people watching.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, everybody. So my name is Matthew McConnell. I'm one of the two partners in Certax Accounting Durham. So we're the one of the Northeast franchisees of the Certax network. We have 25, 26 team members who work for us. Obviously, we're based in County Durham. We have about 800 clients, and we don't see ourselves as a digital firm, but we are very technology driven. So using the likes of Accountancy Manager, Xero, other softwares to streamline our business.
Thank you, Matt. Jeff, quick intro from you.
Yeah, my name's Jeff Neer. We have a small accountancy firm called Move On Accountants, which actually was based in Newcastle, but we've recently gone virtual. So we're all working from home. Again, like Matt, very technology based, and that's how we operate our systems, totally in the cloud.
Great. Well, thank you very much, one and all. And we've got Jonathan Stobart from Accountancy Manager in the background lurking there. If you've got some questions, you can put them in the chat box. We're going to be doing, by way of an agenda, 30 minutes or so. We've got a few key topics that we'd like to go through. And then we're going to open it up for some live Q&A at the end. So if you've got a question you'd like to put to anyone on our panel right here, then just identify them in the chat, or we will just put it out there generally. So if you've got questions as we go along, just put them in the chat. Jonathan will collate them and we'll get to them in a little while. So first off, fellas, just let's talk about the importance of communication. We talk about being proactive and externally facing and giving strong leadership to the business community out there. But I'm quite intrigued about how you communicating internally. It's really important to show strong leadership to your staff. It's really important to get the messages over about culture, particularly remotely. So Mark, can we start with you on this one? How have you maintained good internal communication throughout these challenging times?
Yeah, so I think it was around about the 16th or 17th of March when we first had an idea that we were going to need to be working remotely anyway. So we invested in laptops for everyone who didn't have work laptops. So we bought around about 15 new laptops.
So you got ahead before the rush, didn't you?
Just in time, yeah. Laptops for everyone. We also got VoIP apps so people can work from home, but also answer and call out from the work phone line. In terms of discussing or keeping sort of in tune with the team, we've kind of been using Zoom for quite some time, but this kind of forced us to use it as a business and not just the ad hoc client meeting, if that makes sense.
Okay, great. And let's deal with this one right now from Kelly. Which voice op system do you use?
Yeah, so we use HiHi. HiHi, it's So everybody in the office has the like Android. I want to say what you call them?
Yeah, we get it.
Android handsets.
Yeah.
And but that links directly to an app that you can download on your iPhone or your Android yourself. So
okay. And James, how many people in your team there? And tell us about how you're handling the internal comms, because Matt's talked a bit about the technology there, but there's a cadence to this, there's a method, there's a strategy, isn't there, as well as the technology?
Yeah, I mean, we've got about 20 people who are obviously now remote working. We've used a number of different ways of doing that. In terms of communicating, again, we use Zoom for meetings. We have weekly meetings, weekly team meetings. We also have, you know, managers meetings, you know, once a week as well to touch base across the team. I mean, obviously, it's a bit different for us because Accountancy Manager has been built for accountants. In a way, I wish we'd also built another system for a software company so that we could fly, so we could, you know, so that we could utilize it more for the way that we do things internally. I mean, you know, one of the communication channels that we use is Slack, which I know other accountants use as well. We'll be looking to put an integration in there through Zapier in the coming months, you know, for those people that do use Slack. I mean, in my opinion, having obviously used Accountancy Manager in a practice at a point in time, you know, when we were first building it, having things like the notification system to be able to send notifications internally amongst different team members and be able to link that to a client then where it stores it on the timeline for that client, which means that then when you're communicating with a particular client, you can check to see if any of your other team members have had any communication with them first, which is obviously really beneficial. And then the other feature is a chat feature, which you can actually start having a conversation on a particular task itself using a chat function. So that's quite handy too. So it's a bit different for the way that we do things as Accountancy Manager to the way that accountants are doing it. Yeah. But there's a few tips there, I suppose, as to what's been useful, what tools we've built to make useful for accountants.
Jeff, you're running a firm. You've got to get messages out to your own people. You've got to keep that engagement, that culture going, keep them on side when they're spread hither and thither. How have you dealt with the internal comms?
It's a bit easier for me because I haven't got so many people. But we in about 10 years ago, got everything into the cloud. And at the time our business started to grow, we ended up with kind of lots of different software doing lots of different functions. And at one point we tried to get a VA in to handle everything. Mm. Try and explain it was so complicated that we had to have a rethink. And then Accountancy Manager came along and we were able to get a lot of things under one roof. And that simplified things. And we had used Skype for a while, but then we found out about Zoom. We started to use Zoom. I thought we were the only ones using Zoom in the country, but you know, apparently we weren't. Because we use Zoom a lot, we started to go to the office less and less.
Yeah.
And that prompted a decision for us in February to just go completely virtual because we're hardly ever in the office. So I've got one part-time employee. I've got three or four subcontractors. And we just speak on Zoom. We just speak on Zoom a lot. And I'm in Northumberland. My employee is about 35 miles away. My payroll guy, who I speak to all the time, is in Dorset. So, you know, you can't get farther away, but it doesn't matter. We could all be in the same house. So that's the main way we communicate. With my employee, we tend to communicate through tasks in Accountancy Manager. So she will update the progress notes in tasks. She's part-time, so it means that if she's not in, myself or anyone else can pick up the job from the progress notes in Accountancy Manager. Mm. That keeps everyone in the loop.
Yeah. And you wonder what might happen if COVID would have happened 10, 15 years ago, because Accountancy Manager wasn't around. We didn't have Zoom. We didn't have Slack then. We would really have struggled to communicate, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think,
well, absolutely, except, you know, people would just phone each other up, but but these new developments are really changing the face of work, and COVID is going to massively accelerate that.
Yeah, Any final thoughts, gents, on the internal comms before we... I want to talk about clients and how we communicate externally. James, were you going to say something?
No, no, I was just going to agree with Jeff there where, you know, I think, you know, advancing, you know, it's probably accelerated software and the way that we do things, the remote working and everything else, probably by about 10 years in the accountancy profession. It's sort of something that everybody's been slowly working towards. But COVID really has sort of pushed that whole setup forwards. And I think probably for the greater good in the long run, you know, in terms of the way that we work in business.
Yeah. I saw a question pop up, Jonathan, and we'll come to this later. But you panelists can be thinking about an answer to this. How do you protect the assets? How do you maintain the security when you have all of your data all over the place? I know the cloud is safe, but we may come back to that question. So let's turn our attentions externally, gentlemen. We know it's important to keep your clients, customers close. A lot of accountants claim to be proactive, but for them, it's just saying, we're here if you need us, and that's not truly proactive. So how have you managed client relationships? Jeff, let's come to you first on this one throughout this remotely. And you kind of had a head start on this because you've been virtual for a while.
If we're talking about the COVID period, the massive emergence of Zoom, it has changed the face of meetings, because before COVID, you know, I mean, obviously, as you know, Zoom is everywhere now. It's on the TV all the time. It's on the news. Parliament is using it. And that before, when we asked people to go into a Zoom meeting, there was a reluctance of some kinds anyway. You know, I don't know what they thought we were going to do, but the fact that Zoom is everywhere has opened people up more and more to face-to-face meetings. So we're doing not just on Zoom, but we're doing FaceTime, and we're doing meetings on WhatsApp now. People are just much more, you know, open to it. And with WhatsApp, for those who don't know, it's available on iPhones and Android phones, unlike FaceTime. And it also, it's encrypted, so it's GDPR compliant, effectively. So what's happened is more and more people, especially younger clients, are sending us documents on WhatsApp, and they're sending us just bank details, you know, ask for bank details on WhatsApp. So yeah, we still use emails, but finding that there are problems with emails. People sometimes don't open them, don't see them, they go to junk folders. But I would tend to prefer text than email. That gets in people's faces straight away, and they tend to respond to text more easily.
Yeah.
But you know, during this period, I've spent so much time on the phone to clients. And I'd like to say it's being proactive, but it's mainly driven by clients ringing me up all the time with questions.
That's an interesting point. Matt, we're having more conversations with clients now than we ever have, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, in March is normally our kind of time to, you know, just improve processes in the business. So when this kind of hit around about the middle of March, where we would generally be fairly quiet, that prompted us to actually speak to the clients. So I created like a register of all the grants and reliefs which were available. And I tried to chip away at each client. If they would phone me first, I'll go through a list of questions. But I think just to agree with what Jeff says, you know, text messaging is as, you know, clients respond to that as well as anything. So, you know, one thing which we get the team using is the text message sort of element of Accountancy Manager. Something we've always had a problem with is getting clients to sign an engagement letter if you email it to them. So all we do now is just take the link to the portal and text it to them. Mm. Clients have straight access to it. Anything, you know, where, you know, you've got Facebook Messenger, you've got WhatsApp, as Jeff says, it more tend to be the easiest to communicate with the clients. But actually, in those first 2 or 3 weeks, we were doing a lot of getting a lot of information out to the clients by email, Facebook updates on our page, which we haven't done since we started the business.
Yeah.
And that got us a lot of, I think, good publicity for doing so.
I'm just looking in the chat. Microsoft Teams is getting a mention as well. Zoom's not the only gig in town, is it, for these video conferencing calls? We've got a quick question, which we might as well answer right now, on a good intranet system suitable for a small practice. So talking internally, would that be a Slack type mechanism, a Trello? Would that be an Asana? Would that be an accountancy manager, James?
For what, sorry?
An intranet, an internal system for a practice to communicate, just dropping back there for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, using, you know, there's obviously lots of different ways, I think, and other products that can be used alongside each other to have those communications. Not too sure about an intranet system, but certainly, you know, using Slack and things. But that's more internal again, isn't it, as opposed to communicating externally with the clients, which is where you were headed, wasn't it? I mean, we've seen an increase of 430% of the number of emails being sent out of accountancy manager, you know, over the last couple of months. But, you know, you could say that that's partly down to the fact that we've just entered into the self-assessment period, and obviously sending out things like automated emails to request those sorts of records in it's going to be happening, you know, as soon as the 5th of April passes, then people start, you know, accountants start focusing on self-assessment tax returns.
Well, let's finish that with you, James. We were talking about the way you externally communicate with your customers at accountancy managers. So how have you gone about things strategically?
Well, we've obviously got our sales team. We obviously have a sales team, and you know, many accountants wouldn't necessarily have a dedicated sales team. So, and we've got a dedicated support team. So I suppose people that are signing up to our site online, and obviously then, you know, that there's a sales funnel, and our sales team will contact those prospects along the way, as well as the support team providing that support, and for existing customers as well. You know, I mean, the calls or emails is the main form of communication that we have, and that seems to work quite well. And I suppose in that sense, it's kind of business as usual for us. You know, not a lot has changed there at all. We've just continued doing what we've always done. And we'll do going forwards.
Let's just take a little pivot on that question, as I just throw out to anyone that wants to answer this. There's another element to this external communication. One is the everyday communication you've got with clients, but the other is the thought leadership piece, the content piece, the stuff you're doing now, James, with accountancy manager. What has been your strategy in putting good content, good information out there for people that are perhaps not necessarily your clients, but might not be served well by their current providers, and you want to be in their shop window? Jeff, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I'm just saying that we have our general communication with clients, our own, but we're also putting other information out there. We're also communicating with would-be clients and the accountancy profession out there. You're in the shop window, you're looking for more business. Matt, have you been putting any content and thought leadership out there?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'd say is we haven't been in your face in terms of selling accountancy services. All we've been doing is getting the information out there. So, you know, if the government would release one piece of guidance and then change it straight away, we would try and break that down into layman's terms. And actually getting our view on the HMRC guidance for the clients has been, you know, quite refreshing for them.
Well, that's a good point, James, isn't it? Because your customers want to see you putting stuff out there. They don't just want a phone call with you and a text message. They want to see that you are front and center, you're showing strong leadership, you're doing content like this.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think, you know, it's definitely refocused our attention as a business onto the digital marketing platform. You know, everything being done digitally, making sure that you remain present as well. And this is for any business, you know, regardless that we're kind of on the other side of the fence as the software provider. But for accountants, you know, and I know what Matt's saying there is it's really difficult because there's so much information that they're being asked to provide to their customers currently. Where's the time being found to actually market our services and say, hey, you know, come on board with us? So I think it's a tricky balance. I mean, what we hope, you know, as accountancy manager is that we've streamlined that process so much so that it's at least alleviating some of those pressures. I know we've had a few comments recently saying things like we'd have never been able to onboard the, you know, the clients during this time if we hadn't have had a system in place like accountancy manager. So I think, but I think if you can and you can find the time, continue to do digital marketing, social media, all of that, making sure that you're still, I mean, especially as the accountant saying, we're still here for you. You know, we're here to support you. I think that's the key message, isn't it? Yeah. Needs to be got out there because everyone's living in fear.
ultimately.
Jeff, you were nodding there. Was there something you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, no, we are we are doing some work on social media, and we are in touch with our clients. We are preparing some marketing, but we're not going to release it at the moment because we're not sure. You know, my time seems to be fully taken up by the issues at the moment, but that's going to change soon. There is a challenge with marketing, especially on Facebook, in that I read somewhere that engagement with a post on Facebook for accountants posts get the lowest amount of engagement of any other sector, and it is quite hard to engage people on Facebook with posts as an accountant. Try to do that, anyone?
We're going to come on to the challenges actually, but what we're seeing right now is a whole lot of noise. Everyone's got something to say. Not all of the information put out there is right. Not all of it is current. It goes out of date very quickly. So it is really important as accountants and from accounting managers' perspective, the software side, that we put out the right kind of communication. But let me ask you, gentlemen, we are in unusual times. James, I'll come to you first on this one. What have been some of the big challenges to working remotely? You've got a fair sized team. You're not in the office really anymore. What's presented problems for you, accounting manager?
I think obviously trying to have an oversight of all of the team members and ensure that they're still able to be productive and able to, you know, to continue, you know, working as normally, and all the challenges that they're facing, you know, as a business owner, I suppose we want to try and accommodate that and try and make it as easy as possible for them. At the same time, I mean, we use a software which a lot of people would feel was probably too much of an invasion of privacy. Maybe we use something called TerraMind, which is actually installed on all of the machines, all of our team's machines. And what it shows is it shows productivity and activity, and if people are sort of, you know, falling short at all. But what it, and it's not to sort of attack people, it's actually to be able to give them support where they need it. So we're able to support our team members. And I think for accountants, again, it's a bit different. If I think about when I was working in an accountancy practice, for me, it was more, I've got these deadlines, I've got this amount of work I need to complete. And it wasn't so much about the number of hours I was putting in as opposed to the amount of work that I needed to get out. Mm. And so that was more key to me. But obviously, you know, for us, you know, we want to have an oversight on all of that, ensuring that we are connecting with our team on a regular basis, as I've said, weekly. And there's always a sort of a list of tasks really for each team member. So rather than just being reactive, we're also ensuring that we're being proactive. And I think that's key, isn't it? It's very difficult. It can be very difficult, especially in these current times, to just constantly react to situations. And I think across any business, if you can continue to allow some time for proactivity, I think that's essential.
Yeah. Jeff, you said that you'd got ahead of this game early with going remotely, but there still must have been some challenges for your firm in this.
Well, the main challenges for us are with the client's lack of IT skills.
Right.
And not just the lack of skills, but confidence in the skills. Mm. So a lot of clients, mainly the older ones, but not exclusively, just don't want to use IT and don't want to, cooperate with it. And, you know, it's very hard to work remotely if your clients aren't IT literate. I mean, I've got a small band of clients who don't even have an email address.
Yeah.
You know, if you can believe that. But
hasn't this situation accelerated their move into the tech more because they've got to be contactable? They've got to access information, haven't they?
It has. It has. They've moved more towards that because they just have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even, and you're not supposed to do this, but I've actually ended up doing some self-employed income support claims for clients as them because they don't have the technology to actually do the claim.
Yeah.
So I've had to sit with them. They're on the phone on FaceTime. I've entered their information to do the claim. But we've had to use that sort of thing to get around it. But it's a difficult situation. And we've used some videos as well. We've got some videos on the website. We're trying to train clients really and cajole them into being more IT literate.
Mm. Matt, what have been the big challenges for you on working remotely?
I think being able to get hold of our team, whether it's through, trying to phone them or if the clients have been trying to call them. So that's why we're in the process of getting everyone mobile phones. The big challenge for us, what we thought was going to be a challenge anyway, was to get everyone using Receipt Bank. So we have one of these firm-wide subscriptions. So we suffer the cost on behalf of everyone. But actually saying to clients, you know, no matter how tech savvy they are, just download this app and take photos of your receipts and get them through us. It means that it's saved, in theory, it's saved a lot of time bookkeeping. Yeah. I think finally for us is we made a decision to do furlough claims for free for everybody. So we had about 640 furlough claims. So to do that, to give back to the clients for free, and we had to keep our workload going at the same time. That's been a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. We did the same thing. We took a decision at the start of the lockdown to do all of the work with claims, COVID claims, both job retention scheme and self-employed income support at no charge. You know, we didn't think it was right to charge at the time, but it's taken an awful lot of time.
Mm. I'm going to ask you finally, gents, in a moment, what's the biggest lesson you've learned from COVID-19? But just before that, have we got to a point, James Ben, where remote working is the future? Is there no going back now? We know what Jeff is going to say on this, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be if companies are putting the right software in place. I certainly think the office space, particularly in the city, you know, is going to be reduced. I mean, the cost of office space in the cities is outrageous, really. Yeah. And so I think, and people already, you know, already mentioned they're doing that. You know, I've been on some other panels and events and hearing that, you know, they've already started reducing their office space, closing offices down, you know, because they feel like there's just not a necessity for them. I think what it's done is it's made people realize that fear again, that sort of come in as, you know, previously before COVID, of can we get everybody working from home? Is, you know, is that going to work out? Do we really want to take that risk? You know, big and small companies. And then they were forced into it and suddenly realizing that actually we're adaptable and our companies are adaptable. I think, you know, of course it's going to be the future. I think some people will still try and hang on to maybe the old way of doing things, but I think to remain ahead of the curve, the remote working is going to be a necessity. I know for our team, for example, we've already said to a few members of the team, and to be fair, touching back on what I mentioned earlier about having, you know, a monitoring system in place, we now know which team members are actually capable of working from home and it being okay for them. So we've already said to a few of the team, we're going to now allow you to work from home certain days a week, if that's your preference, which some of them it is. Usually the ones that have got children running around at home, they actually want to come back into the office. So I understand that too, with two young children myself. So yeah, I think it will be the future. And it's pushed it forwards. Certainly, you know, possibly by as long as 10 years, as I suggested earlier. But I think there'll still be a bit of a way to go to get where everybody wants it to be.
Mm. Matt, the average UK commute's about an hour. People working from home don't have that now, but as James was saying, there are pros and cons. Is it the future for you?
We're more in the countryside, so I think the average commute for us is about 10 minutes, even though quite the distance. No, I don't think it is, but I do think flexible working is the way forward. I think as an office, we should have standard hours of maybe 10 till 3, and then the remaining, you know, to make up the other 37 and a half hours of the week, they can do it whenever or wherever they want. But for the clients to be able to communicate with the team members and not contact me as the partner, is for me, it's key to have those standard hours.
Yeah. Jeff, I've deliberately come to you last on this because remote working for you is not the future. It's the present, isn't it?
It's the present. And before the lockdown started, we were doing meetings when we gave up the office in locations like hotel lobbies and hot desking and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm seriously questioning whether we even need to do that now, because if you can, you know, obviously a face-to-face meeting is better than a phone meeting, but if, you know, do you need meetings to be in the flesh? I think actually, you know, the face-to-faceness of a meeting is okay without actually having to shake someone's hand. Mm. So I'm seriously wondering whether we'll ever go back to, you know, in the flesh, in the same room meetings.
Well, accountants do ask, can you build trust without shaking somebody's hand? If you are seeing the visual, and you would argue, yes, Jeff.
I think it's in the visual face-to-face.
Yeah.
You don't actually need the physical presence of someone. And then, you know, the lockdown may ease, but until a vaccine comes along, social distancing is going to be a feature of life for a year, 18 months, who knows how long. So I just think I just think that's the way it's going, and that is the future.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to our last question, and then we're going to take a few questions from the audience that Jonathan is collating right now. So we'll come to you first on this, Matt. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned from what's happening right now?
In my opinion, there's a lot of work, sort of admin and unnecessary work, which can be streamlined and even cut out if you just sit back and you know, look at it in close detail. You know, I've just by changing some of the systems, using the accountancy manager to its full potential, I think we're saving about 150 hours a month across the team. And for us, that frees up, you know, one team member's time a month to be able to spend time on clients. Mm. That's been the big thing for us.
Yeah. Jeff, what's been the biggest lesson learned for you?
Yeah, this isn't really so much a work thing, but effectively, I normally work from home, but being totally confined at home all day, at the start of a lockdown, I took on some extra projects, and not all of them work-related. And it's really brought home to me how quickly the days go. Mm-hmm. You know, a bit counterintuitive, because some people say everything is, you know, the days are long, but for me, they seem incredibly short. And, you know, we've all got 24 hours in a day. That's it. You can't get any more. And in fact, for some people now, some people have run out of time during the COVID period. So I'm acutely aware of how important it is not to waste time and to use your time productively. And don't shake hands with Boris Johnson.
James, let's get the last word to you on this one. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned from COVID-19?
I mean, for me, working from home as well, I think, you know, the work-life balance has become, you know, and I've got two young children anyway. So I think for me, you know, trying to get that balance right has been one of the biggest lessons. I mean, I break my day up into 15-minute slots now. And that seems to be a really good way of, like Jeff was saying, make sure that the time that you're spending is productive, basically, and then making sure that you're taking your breaks throughout the day. And it's the same as being in the office. It's just maybe, you know, a lot of people, and certainly me, when I was in the office, I'd just keep going, you know, I would just keep going and going and going, and I wouldn't necessarily have those breaks and things, but it's become apparent that obviously that they're absolutely key. And having that work-life balance is essential too. I mean, you know, the other big thing for me is to now look at the fact that we're tapping into lots of different digital marketing strategies. I see that as the future. And we're certainly changing how we're doing things now, you know, as seen from this panel discussion, as one of our first kind of ways of doing things, you know. So I think, digital marketing, work-life balance, and productivity, you know, all key areas.
Well, this has been great, fellas. Thank you so much for your insights thus far. Matt McConnell and Jeff Neal and James Byrne, we're going to hold you on here while we field a few questions that are coming in from the many people watching right now. There's a lovely quote there from Liz. She said, I've heard of meeting rooms at local dog shelters. So dog therapy at your meetings, it could help the mental health side of things and helping us cope with all the anxious moments. So
On the mental health, Rob, as well. We just so everyone's aware here, we're going to be doing a mental health session as well, which will be releasing out in the coming weeks. But we are going to do a panel on mental health. Obviously, that's been a big topic of, I mean, not only is it Mental Health Awareness Week this week, but also it's been a thing about the whole COVID situation and the lockdown, how people have been coping with that. So we are going to do another session based on that, just to let everybody on the webinar know.
Yeah, I will do a quick mention of that at the end, but yeah, thank you for that, Ed. Let's just talk about GDP for a moment, fellas. There's a question come in here, how it affects communication with clients. We're talking to them via social media. We've got these remote assets. James, what are your thoughts on the GDP angle there?
In what sense, sorry?
It's difficult to know sometimes when you've got a lot of different software in a lot of different places, where the data is maintained.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a very difficult question. I'm not sure all of my software and my databases are compliant because of the location of the data.
Are we talking GDPR, yeah?
Yeah, but let me pivot slightly. And what about clients that are using the old-fashioned paper and not the technology? How do they fit into the accounts manager setup, James?
Well, I mean, what we've done is we've created client portals for, you know, for our clients so that they can share, so that you guys as the accountants can share your documents through the client portal, which is GDPR compliant and safe, and safer than using emails, where obviously, you know, they can get hacked and you can end up sharing data with people that you don't want to be sharing it with. So, you know, we created the portal specifically for that reason, to give a secure area for documents to be shared between, you know, between the accountant and the client.
Yeah. Let's just ask you, Matt, about notifications to contact staff members. I know that staff use Accounting Manager to see what they have to do, but do you advise that they run Accounting Manager all the time on their computers to know what's going on?
We do. So for every task, for people who don't use Accounting Manager, there's a time button. So we moved from a large provider because the time element of the software didn't work for us. So actually, to be able to start a task, whether it's a mortgage reference or doing a full set of accounts from start to finish, once they start the task, they just press start. So yeah. Our setup in the office is everyone's got three screens, and one screen is for tasks and accountancy manager, and the other two screens are for working.
Yeah. Jeff, would you add anything to that?
No, we don't use the timing function in accountancy manager. It's just on when people are working and off when they're not.
Yeah. James, how do you think they should be using those notifications with accountancy manager?
There's different forms of communications. Obviously, we've got system notifications, where you're sort of being alerted to things, but also the notifications internally and the automatic notifications off the back of, you know, activities that happen in AM. I mean, touching on the time feature, I mean, the big reason for building the time feature was to track profitability of clients, and we've been working more and more on the profitability side of it, more developments in the background. But you know, even if you don't charge your clients based on time, you still, you know, in my opinion, you still want to know how much time your staff are spending on those tasks, so that you can see how profitable you're being. So I think, you know, having a way to track that internally, even if it's not going to be billed externally, allows you to see how profitable your firm's going to be. And one of the big things with the Xero integration that we recently brought in means that you can now import all of your invoices from Xero into AM. And if you start recording time for your staff members, then you can see the profitability of the practice, you know, firm wide. And that's the same with the QuickBooks integration that I know has been promised for some time now, but we are in the final stages. And one of the main reasons it's taken so long is because of the blinking invoicing structure, you know, that we've had to replicate in QuickBooks, like we've done for Xero. Free agents slightly different, but it's around profitability and time, and I mean, I don't know if that answers your question, really.
Yeah, that's good. And Jeff, one of the early decisions you must have made in going remotely was the security side of things, the cyber side of things. How do you keep all the data safe? How did you get around that?
Well, all of our data is we use a hosted desktop, so all of our data is in highly secure hosted desktop location.
Right. Matt, what do you do for the cybersec? Sorry, I thought you'd finished that, Jeff. Yes. Matt, what do you do with the cybersec side of things?
Yes. So, I mean, we've got an insurance policy in case the worst happens, because you do get sort of attempts to hack through emails. We have quite a secure spam filter on our emails. So every morning, I can't remember what it's called, but every morning all the spam from the previous day comes through, and we work on virtual terminals. So, you know, you've got a secure password to get into your actual laptop, and then you've got a secure password to get into the terminal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, our documents are stored on either the server, or certain documents are stored in accountancy manager, such as accounts, tax returns. Yeah. We're looking to move to Google. So it's more of a, we think it'll be more of a secure system for.
Great. Well, we're going to finish up now. I'm going to ask Jeff and Matt of their, what has been the biggest benefit of having a county manager in your practice with all of this going on? If you could just think of something you might say then, and I'll finish with James, and then we'll do give you a signpost to what's coming up. And James, perhaps if you could be thinking of the one piece of advice you give to people using a county manager, and maybe even a plug for those that are watching that are not using it, that what would be the biggest benefit for them? But now that I've given you a moment just to think about that, Jeff, what's been the real boon of having a county manager involved in your practice throughout all of this?
It's just made us so more organised, and it's allowed us, instead of having a bit of software and a bit here and a bit here and paying for all of those things, to just bring them into one under one umbrella. And you know, our organisation is just much better than it used to be.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? How's the county manager really helped you?
Yeah, similar. So, you know, we, as I say, we moved from a large provider in late 2018. And it was, I think, I saw our county manager in its early days. So we spent quite a lot of time on getting it because of the high number of clients that we've got. But we've made bookmarked reports, which are amazing for the team. You know, so we know exactly what deadlines are due at the push of a button. And the big thing for us is, but it's quite simple, is the text messages and the canned emails. So it just saves so much time by using those templates.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really is a good system. Really good system.
Brilliant. Thank you, gentlemen. James, what advice would you give to the people watching that already use Accountancy Manager and getting more benefit from what you're giving them?
Well, the support team are going to hate me for this, but I would say, you know, utilize the team that we have at Accountancy Manager. You know, we often find accounts where they're not using all the functionality in Accountancy Manager, things which would be highly beneficial to them. And unlike, you know, some bigger providers, we don't charge for any of that kind of support. So to reach out and to find out, we're trying to do a tip every week at the moment. You know, when you're logging into your Accountancy Manager systems, there's a tip that pops up on your screen and tells you maybe something new that you might have missed. The biggest piece of advice would be, you know, spend that time, just put it, and it's very, very difficult. And I know exactly what it's like, especially when working, you know, when I was working as an accountant, finding time to do things. And the only way I could do it is to actually block a piece of time out in my calendar to go, right, during this 2-hour period, for example, I'm going to dedicate that to this piece of software where I'm going to make sure that I'm utilizing it the best way I possibly can. And if you don't set aside the time in the calendar, it doesn't tend to happen, in my experience. And when you're using a software like Accountancy Manager, which is designed to be the foundation of the of the practice and to automate as many processes as possible, you know, you need to be spending a few hours just to make sure that you're utilizing it and get the rest of the team on board as well. You know, if you've got other members of the team involved, you need to get them to buy into the product with you, because if they're not utilizing it efficiently, you're going to find friction in different areas of the practice. So it's important that maybe that you hold a little team meeting with regards to that sort of stuff, or speak to us and get us to provide a sort of, you know, a session for your team if you want it as well. In terms of, you know, probably what it's been most efficient at is certainly obviously managing deadlines, automation around that, sending out automated emails, SMS, text messages, you know, to your clients, reducing that back office admin as what we've tried to achieve and continue to try to achieve as much as possible. So I hope that, you know, lots of people are really finding the benefit there. And if they're not utilizing the full system, my advice is put the time aside and utilize our team. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for contributing today and sharing those real life stories and strategies about how to cope with what's going on. A quick heads up for what's coming up on Tuesday, the 2nd of June, 1300 UK time. James is joining us again, and we're going to give a real deep dive into the mental side of this game. We've got two special guests with us. One is Andy Zolkeld. He went to commit suicide. He's an ex-Big Four accountant. He now speaks on mental health, and he's going to talk about the power in weakness, because it's difficult in the accounting profession. You've got to be strong. You've got to charge your hours. You've got to be on it. You've got to cope really well with everything that's going on. I've spoken to him already today, and he's got some really interesting things to share about the mental side of the game. And we're also going to be joined by Dr. Helena Boshi. I spoke to her this morning. She is an expert on the mental side of of professional life. She's going to be talking about the legacies of lockdown, how accountants are control freaks and how they hate uncertainty, and the tricks with coping, not just with your own anxiety, but the anxiety of your own clients and your own staff. How do you cope with that as a leader? So these are some of the topics we're going to be discussing next time. It may not be live. We've got to sort that out yet. But if it isn't, we will make the recording available to you. Gentlemen, this has been great. Give us a wave. And we thank everyone for your questions. Jonathan, is there anything you're hiding in the background there, coordinating things at the back? Anything else we need to mention or any questions that have been unanswered?
I think we've covered off all the questions that have been asked. Conscious of time as well. If you do have any questions that you want to ask, feel free to get in touch. And of course, we'll come back to you at that point.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, folks. We're going to stop the recording button. You are free to go. I'm sure you've got another Zoom call in 5-10 minutes. Everyone has. But it's great that you are learning. It's great that you want to be better today than you were yesterday. It's great that you're willing to spend a bit of time investing in yourself and make yourself bigger, faster, stronger, because you are on the front line and you are making a big difference. So stay safe and be well, and we'll see you on the next session.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
And you can stop recording, Jonathan.